Hello, world. I'm Greg Patton. Stand by for news and stuff. Well, talking to the folks down there at WHCB, over 60 grand. Let's see, 24, 25. Yeah, there's 25 bucks here. Hey, every penny counts, my friend, in getting WHCB from Blountville, Tennessee, their current headquarters there by the airport, over to their new facility in Bluff City. I know you're praying about it. Question is, have you given anything yet? I pray that you have, and if not, why not today? You can actually stop by and say hi to the folks at WHCB there on Highway 75 and visit a bit and, just give them a little something special. They would love it. You can contact them, whcbradio.org. You will be a big part in keeping 91.5 broadcasting, heralding Christ's blessing throughout the Tri-City area. Why not today? We're praying for you. The House Oversight Committee has invited the new Postmaster General to appear at a September hearing to examine operational changes at the U.S. Postal Service that are causing some real delays in mail deliveries across the country. The plan imposed by Louis DeJoy, a Republican fundraiser who took over the top job at the Postal Service in June, eliminates overtime for hundreds of thousands of postal workers and orders that mail be kept until the next day if postal distribution centers are running late. Representative Carolyn Maloney, a New York Democrat who chairs the oversight panel, said the September 17 hearing is going to focus on the need of on-time mail delivery during the ongoing pandemic and the upcoming election, which is expected to include a major expansion of mail-in ballots. President Trump has warned that allowing more people to vote by mail is going to result in, well, corrupt elections and will lead to the end of our great Republican Party, even though there's no evidence that's going to happen, but I think many of us think the same thing. Trump, Vice President Pence, and other top administration officials frequently vote absentee themselves. Last week, Trump even floated on Twitter the prospect of delaying the November 3rd election, an idea lawmakers from both parties quickly shot down. Think there's a problem with mail-in? I mean, all those dead people voting in Chicago, that's another story. And this one shook up a few people. President Trump claimed Monday that he has the authority to issue an executive order on mail-in ballots, who's increasingly being used, and he argues this could increase election fraud and uncertainty, though it's unclear what he could do to curtail that practice. I have the right to do it, Trump said to reporters at a White House press conference. We haven't gotten there yet. We'll see what happens. I can do it. Trump added that Republicans are planning to file suit as soon as today to try to block Nevada's expansion of mail-in voting. So we were working at church yesterday, decided to save ourselves about $3,000 and do our own small parking lot. It needed to be resealed. And about 10 of us out there working, men and women. It was just a great day. I thought I'll treat them to Chinese. Everybody wanted some Chinese lunch. So we go down there. There's the sign. Can't get in. And they were enforcing the rule, lest you have your mask. Off to the dollar store. $14 for this little cheap mask. Got a bunch of those, and in we went. And it's just so strange. Walk us to the table. Everybody sits down, and immediately we all take off our mask. The people next, I could reach out and touch them at the other tables there. They did the same thing. Is this just stupid or what? And then we get up from the table, put our mask on, pay our bill, and leave. It's, you don't want to hear it. So the Democrat is blaming the Democrat. The mayor of Minneapolis, Jacob Frey, faced sharp criticism over his handling of the George Floyd riots in June. Yesterday he seemed to place now much of that blame on Tim Walz, another Democrat, the governor, for failing to act quickly on early requests from the city for state intervention. The Minneapolis Star Tribune published a detailed report that shed light on the interaction between the mayor's office and the governor's office in the early days. The governor's office made it clear that the National Guard troops were ready within 24 hours of the mayor's request. But Frey seemed to be unconvinced that the governor's office took the unfolding crisis as being serious at the very moment it was demanded. The report also shows there's some cracks in this relationship between the two. Fry told the paper that he remembered a press conference that the governor held outside the smoldering 3rd District when he called the city's response to the unrest the night before abject failure. Fry said watching the press conference was definitely a big hit in the gut. So, who's to blame for that mess in Minneapolis, Minnesota? Oh, this is bizarre. The Minneapolis Police Department has told residents they should be prepared now to hand over their phones, wallets, purses to the robberies. The Minneapolis Police Department has reported a 46% increase in carjackings, a 36% increase in robberies compared to the same time last year. Police in the city's 3rd precinct alone have received more than 100 reports of robberies and 20 reports of carjackings in the last 30 days, and officials are now telling residents to be ready and willing to comply with the demands of the criminals. They sent out an email to the 3rd precinct residents there. Yep, be prepared to give up your cell phone and purse and wallet, the police said in their email, a copy of which was obtained by several news organizations. The email said citizens should listen to the criminals and do as they say. Where is my gun? Well, meanwhile, a Minneapolis lawmaker whose house Black Lives Matter protesters visited just last month spoke to Fox News yesterday about the experience of having the demonstrators bang on his front door and demand he come out and address them. He called recent Black Lives Matter protests nothing but a loud, profane mob coming to people's homes. That ought to do it. State Senator Warren Libner, a Republican, and the Assistant Majority Leader, saw a group of about a dozen or more Black Lives Matter protesters demonstrating outside of his home there in July. A 2-hour-long video of the encounter was posted on Facebook before going viral this past weekend. The Republican, Libner, said that although authorities had alerted him of the planned protest and he left his home by the time demonstrators arrived, the protests were unnerving to his wife, and he felt bad for his neighbors who had to deal with all of this. Well, everybody would feel bad. They're all morons. Enough said. I'm curious, do you carry a gun? Put a picture on my Facebook page of a woman. Boy, she's got a monster gun there by her side. She's doing a little grocery shopping. And the question was, does this lady really need a gun to go shopping? I liked your comments. Definitely yes, yes. In this world, yes. Two kinds of Americans. You're either a gun owner or a victim. You can no longer depend on 911. You might just get a busy signal there. You better believe it. You better take a gun. I like Tim's comment. I carry it at all times. I know how to use it. I encourage every law-abiding citizen to buy a firearm, take a class, get your concealed carry permit. Not just take a required class, but get somebody who really can teach you the safety, how to handle your gun, and then practice, practice, practice. You know what that gun says, another? Don't mess with me. This whole thing depends. If she is in Chicago, Portland, Detroit, absolutely, I would carry my gun. Isn't that sad? And hey, it's coming to your neck of the woods, yeah. Never leave home without it. Your gun, that is. More news right after this. Have you ever heard anyone say, you know, I used to be a Christian. I was saved when I was a child. Does that count? Statements such as these are very troubling, especially when assurance of one's salvation can be attained. Throughout the Bible, we're told that Jesus died for all of our sins, right? John 1:29. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, Romans 8:35 through 39. And still, there are people who think they can somehow undo their salvation through sin and periods of unbelief. To combat these doubts, we've got to understand the meaning of being saved. Salvation, which is through Christ alone, is God's deliverance of the believer from all the effects of sin. It also includes all the benefits God bestows upon us now and through eternity. A person either is saved or is not saved. No in between there. If you don't truly know Jesus Christ as Savior, you need to begin your relationship today by praying the prayer of salvation. God, forgive me of my sins. I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. Thank you for saving me. So someone suggested I do this, go to my iPhone and put on settings and then go to privacy and then go to health. I just did that. Says when enabled, iPhone can exchange random IDs with other devices using Bluetooth. This enables an app to notify you if you may have been exposed to COVID-19. Exposure logging cannot access any data in or add any data to the health app. And this says COVID-19 exposure logging is off. I hit this little arrow and it goes on. Whoa. Scott wrote on my Facebook page, I doubt if you know that a COVID-19 sensor has been inserted secretly into your phone. Apparently, when everyone was having a little phone disruption recently, they were adding COVID-19 trackers to your phones. If you have an Android phone, go into the settings, look for the Google setting and see if it's there. If you're using an iPhone, do what I just told you to do. The app can notify you if you've been near someone that has been reported as having COVID-19. Wow. Check and confirm and see. I checked on my phone. It was too old. My neighbor checked her phone. There it was. Don't turn it on because you'll be tracked everywhere you go. But once you update your phone, it automatically goes on. Now tell me you're not being tracked like some sort of an animal. Wow. So the Washington Redskins football team of the NFL is now just the Washington football team here in our area. Our kids are to go to Northside High School, the Northside Redskins. Oh, a couple of years ago, they dumped all of that, threw it all in the trash, and renamed the team, their mascot, the Legends, the Northside Legends. I've long wondered why white liberals were offended by naming sports franchises after American Indians when Native Americans themselves were not offended by this. What's been explained now, naming sports franchises after Indians implies that Indian tribes were warlike and ferocious, mean. The last two generations of American students have been taught in our public schools that before the settlers came, the Indian tribes were all very peaceful. They never even fought among themselves, only trying to survive genocide from white and Christian settlers turned the Indians into violent people. Of course, all Native Americans know better than that. It is amazing how much of the liberal mindset comes from having history replaced by some kind of fantasy. It's the new America. In business news, back to the pandemic, restaurants across America are folding up right and left. Nowhere is that crisis more pronounced than in New York City. In July, 83% of New York City bars, restaurants, nightclubs weren't able to pay full rent, according to the Hospitality Alliance survey. 471 businesses, 37 couldn't pay anything at all. Some landlords have tried working with battered tenants. Almost 29% waived some rent, but struggling with bills of their own, most did not. New York City's commercial tenant eviction moratorium expires, tomorrow. The Hospitality Alliance has asked for an extension as well as a little bit of extra support for landlords. That ain't coming. New York City's done a number of things, converting sidewalks and parking spaces and even streets into outdoor dining. Nearly 10,000 restaurants signed up to do that, helping an estimated 80,000 laid-off employees get back to work. But social distancing, reduced capacity means they aren't bringing in enough foot traffic to cover all their expenses. Could somebody find Sonny and Cher's The Beat Goes On and start playing it here in the new America? Oh, did you hear this? Warren Buffett's stake at Apple has tripled in value to more than $100 billion now. How's that going to affect you? Got Milk? They say the new ads are back, but they're very different than before. I wonder why that is. A superintendent, this is probably being screamed across America, calls reopening of schools a fantasy. That's a piece in the Washington Post. I think that's true. Reopening schools? Nah. And that hurricane, Isaias, made landfall in the Carolinas as a hurricane, happened last night. Well, you put this on my Facebook. Who said that? Do you honestly believe spontaneous riots sprang up in 38 different cities in America with spontaneously identical shirts, masks, signs, and chants, and pallets of bricks were just lying around? Huh? On my Facebook page, picture of a little girl holding a sign. Why are pedophiles more protected than me? This one brings a bit of sadness. We had a family that supported us heavily for so many years, the Fessler family. Their young daughter, 16, tragically killed in a car crash. I guess today would have been her birthday. It says, "Happy birthday in heaven, Barbie. Remembering the joy and the love you brought to all who loved you." That story could be repeated a million times. Is this really the thought process of some of you? I never dreamed that I would have to face the prospect of not living in the United States, at least not one that I've known all of my life. I have never wished to live anywhere else. This is my home. I was privileged to be born here. But today I woke up, and as I had my morning coffee, I realized that everything is going to change no matter how I vote, no matter what I say. Something evil has invaded our nation, and our lives are never going to be the same again. Are you thinking that way? Many, many are. Ending this segment, put a little smile on your face, I hope. Pastor Greg Dixon told me this one. Telling a woman to calm down works about as well as baptizing a cat. Bible, the value of Christian radio, right after this important message with Live 101. There it is, from Virginia, a check for $100. Well, here's another one from Virginia, a check for $50. Yeah, every month. Thank you. We're so grateful to those of you that support Hello World financially. God directed us many years ago not to take a salary from our church. There's not a penny guaranteed from doing this Christian radio program daily. But love gifts, they come in, and we're so very, very grateful for your prayers and your financial support. Yeah, just like this Christian radio station, they need you to be a part of that ministry to carry on and to pay the bills. We all have to do that, don't we? Thank you so very, very much for playing such a big part in Hello World, brought to you through the auspices of Greg Patton Ministries, which is, well, out of the Cross Church, it all works together. Sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. We all need to do that. Again, just thank you. I mean it. So I'm wondering if there's any pastors listening that could relate to this one. While visiting one of our members in our church a number of years ago, I was talking to the gal. She had just had a finger problem and had actually had to have her finger removed. And while I was talking to her, this kind of grumpy old-sounding gal behind the curtain, there was two to a room in this case, said, "Who are you?" I said, "I'm Mrs. Harding's pastor here." And I kind of peeked around, and here was this old gal laying in the bed. She says, "I know you. You're Greg Patton. You're on the radio." Wow, that was such a thrill. We got to talking, and she hadn't been able to get to her Lutheran church in a number of years. And we were on the radio here a number of years, and she would listen every time we were on. It was great. Pastors can identify with this. You know, the Bible says in John 8:32, "You shall know the truth," and what's going to happen? "The truth shall make you free," going to set you free. Dear Pastor Blank, maybe this is you. This letter is 6 years late. By that I mean I'm a little more than 6 years removed from the heroin-addicted social vampire I used to be in this world. Being a heroin addict for 20 years leaves you no illusions as to what you are. It's no wonder I no longer considered myself a human being, for a human being wouldn't do the things that I did to supply my $100-a-day drug habit. Isn't that something? Just hard to identify with. One night, after robbing and stealing to support my habit, I was in somebody's bathroom, shooting up for the fifth or sixth time that day. The window was cracked in the bathroom. I could hear somebody talking, and they were talking about Jesus over the radio in the next room. As the dope was going in, I could hear that man talking about how Jesus still loved you no matter what you had done, that he gave his life for you, and he could change your life if you would let him. Isn't that a great message? You know, this thing of Black Lives Matter or All Lives Matter and that great debate was over 2,000 years ago. Jesus settled that question before it ever began. All lives matter to Jesus Christ. He died for all lives. You know, I remember hearing this on the radio, this guy said, and as I was going into my drug-induced trance, I thought it was funny. If Jesus had died for somebody like me, man, he had really been cheated. When I came out of that trance, as the radio program was going off, I got the name of the pastor. For some reason, the little bit of your message that I heard would not leave me. Well, we can praise the Lord for that, amen? I would rob and steal all day long, and secretly at night I would seek out your message on the radio. If only what you were saying about trusting God and believing in His Son was true, was it possible? If I could be included in His love, could He forgive a person like me? You know, those are the thoughts I had when I got saved at age 27. It would be fantastic if this were all true. For whosoever called upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If that were true and your life could be washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ, that horrible past, it's exactly what I thought, December 31st, 1973. This heroin addict, well, listening to your words, sir, of hope and forgiveness by accepting Christ, helped me to have the courage to try one more time to get off heroin. Pastor, I thank God that He allowed me to hear your voice coming over the radio, expressing His love and hope. Your message was the only ray of light that could penetrate the darkness in the heart of a wretch like me. After I completed the drug program, I went back to school. 6 years later, I have a BA, an AA. I'm enrolled in a master's program for social work here. I also recently married. I'm involved in a church, beginning to teach Sunday school. My parents have regained trust in their son. To me, an ex-addict, it's so wonderful to have parents that trust me, a wife that loves me, a child who says she's glad that I'm her daddy. How much better can a person's life be? Isn't that something? My friend, let me just say this. If this hasn't happened to you, you need to let it happen. You need to make some moves now. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, not just on this side, on the other side of the curtain. Death in a place called hell. You don't have to go there. Trust Jesus Christ as Savior today. Ask Him. You might just be like this guy. You're deep in sin. $100, over $100 a day. And heroin shooting up. God can save you today if you let Him. Yeah. Maybe today, why not trust Jesus Christ as your Savior today? And finally, it's the world we live in today. This man walks into a post office. He's a middle-aged, balding man standing there at the counter. He's methodically placing love stamps on bright pink envelopes with and has hearts all over them. Takes out a perfume bottle, starts spraying scent all over the envelopes. Curiosity gets the best of him. He goes up to the man and says, "What are you doing? Could I ask? What are you doing?" Man says, "I'm sending out 1,000 Valentines. Signed, guess who?" "Well, why in the world would you do that?" asked the man. "I'm a divorce lawyer," says the guy. I'm sure reality is worse than that. Smile, it's a good medicine. Come on now. That's it for another day. Hello, world, for a Tuesday. News, information, and comment. Tell a friend about the broadcast, and you all join us tomorrow, same time, same place. God bless. You have yourself one fantastic Tuesday.